Stand still, let God move. Sometimes it is hard to wait upon the Lord, isn't it? And what a great song. If you wouldn't, your Bibles this morning, turn to John, Gospel of John chapter 20. Gospel of John chapter 20, we'll begin in verse 19. It's on a day like this when it's kind of cloudy outside and, you know, it's kind of that sleeping type weather that I wished I was one of those preachers who knew how to tell a joke. But I don't. Amen. And again, for our visitors, if I attempted to tell one, and then we'd all be in big trouble. So all I can say is, you know, help put a smile on your face. The sun's always shining above the clouds. Let's go. Amen. God is good. I'm so glad we're able to be here together, fellowship together. And what a blessed day it is. Amen. And I just want to be an encouragement to you this morning, as well as challenge you a little bit this morning. So John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hand and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand in his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Verse 29. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But listen to this. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Let's pray. We thank you this morning for God, for your love for us and sending your Son to die on the cross for us, to shed his blood for us. And Lord, we thank you that he rose again from the dead. We pray this morning that those of us who have never seen Him, that we continue to put our trust and faith in Him. And those here this morning who have never seen Him, who have never put their trust in Him, I pray they would today. Lord, help us to be consistently faithful in Your house. In Jesus' name, amen. Here we have the first day of the week, Sunday. By the way, Sunday is the first day of the week. I know Brother House alluded to that. The weekend is not, Sunday does not include the weekend. The weekend is Friday and Saturday. And the world's kind of got us mixed up on that. Sunday's the first day of the week. First day of the week, we're supposed to be in the house of God. And I'm so thankful you're here this morning. Amen. If you weren't here, I wouldn't have nobody preach to. Preach to my wife. And she gets that enough. So, or maybe it's the other way around. I don't know. But they're assembled here the first day of the week. It's the morning. The Bible talks about, they're assembled the first day of the week. That morning, of course, when it was dark, Mary Magdalene had come to the sepulcher and found the sepulcher empty. Amen. Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. She finds the stone rolled away. And she comes back and tells Peter and John. And Peter and John run towards the tomb. And John outruns Peter. And they find the tomb empty. And the Bible says that they were wondering and in amazement. And the Bible goes on to talk about how that the two angels had... Mary had seen the two angels, and then also Mary had seen Jesus as well. And we know about the two that had walked on the road to Emmaus, who Jesus taught them on the same day. All this is happening on the same day. But now the evening has come. Again, Jesus had risen from the dead that morning. There had been talk, and Mary had said, I saw Jesus. There's two on the road to Emmaus that said, we saw Jesus in person. Amen. Seen the angels. And seeing the empty tomb, the stone rolled away. Now they're in the upper room. They're gathered together there. Luke 24:33 says, And they found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. So there wasn't just the 11, but there was some that were also with them in this upper room. Again, as they were there, I no doubt there was talk about the tomb being empty. There was talk about what Mary had said concerning seeing the angels and seeing Jesus. There was talk about these individuals who actually got to hear Jesus teach on the road to Emmaus, got to hear the Lord Jesus Christ teach about Himself from the Old Testament. I would have loved to have been there in that message and got to hear that message. The door was shut for fear of the Jews, and Christ appeared. Over another count, the Bible says when Christ appeared in the midst of the room, the doors were shut, so therefore He just appeared in the room. The Bible says that the disciples were afraid. They thought they had seen a spirit, but Jesus says, "Hey, it's me. Peace be unto you." And then He goes on to say, "Can you feel a spirit?" And He says, "Touch me. I'm not a spirit. I'm not a ghost." Jesus Christ appeared bodily there in the upper room. The disciples and others present. In fact, in another account over in Luke, it says that He sat with them. He said, "Is there any meat?" And they began to eat. Jesus Christ ate. Can a spirit or a ghost eat, you know? And so He ate with them. He fellowshiped with them. The Bible says once He said, "Peace be unto them," it says they were glad. They were had joy. By the way, Christ brings joy, doesn't He? I tell you what, I have no doubt in that upper room there were some distressing times. They were afraid at any moment that the Roman soldiers would knock on the door, the Jews would knock on the door, they would come in and they would take them by force and would do the same thing to them that they had done to Jesus Christ. No doubt they were afraid. And here all of a sudden, Jesus appears in their midst and He calms them. He brings peace to them. Again, in this account it says they were glad. Another account it says there was great joy when they saw the Lord, when they understood it was Him. Let me just tell you, if you're having this morning and you're in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a distressing time, Jesus Christ will bring peace. He's promised to give us peace that passes all understanding. If you'll simply go to Him and pray and seek His face, He will calm the situation. He will bring peace to the situation. I just want to encourage you in that fashion. I just can't imagine the peace He brought to the disciples' heart. They thought He was dead. No, He's alive. What joy it brought to them. What did Jesus say to them? Let's look at a couple of things here this morning as we look at this. He calmed their fears. But then He goes right into saying and giving them a message. He says, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." So up in the upper room, Jesus Christ had just risen from the dead. He's already commissioning them, giving them their marching orders, telling them, "As the Father sent me, even so send I you." He gave them the commission. These were the disciples. Disciples simply means sent ones. If you're here and you're a Christian, you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, you should be a disciple. You are one sent one. We have been given a commission. The commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, according to Mark. Matthew says, we know, we've read that many, many times, to go into the world, teach, preach, and baptize. We're to fulfill the Great Commission. That we are commissioned, we are charged, we are commanded to spread the gospel. He said again, "Father, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you." So He enlists them into His army as believers to go forth and spread the good news of salvation, to evangelize the world. Can I tell you, Heritage Baptist Church, our job, our command, our marching orders, our purpose is to evangelize the world. It's to evangelize Haslett, Texas. It's to evangelize the state of Texas, to evangelize America, and evangelize to the uttermost, all around the world. Amen. We are to fulfill that commission. And I, again, want to remind you, when a church ceases to fulfill the commission, it ceases to fulfill its purpose, and therefore it's no longer a church. You find a church that does not emphasize mission, that does not emphasize soul winning, who does not emphasize reaching others for Jesus Christ, they by definition are not a church. And there are a lot of them out there today who are simply social clubs who meet in the fellowship and to eat together and eat pecan pie. I love pecan pie, and I'm going to have some here in a minute. We are not, our purpose, our primary purpose is not to eat pecan pie. Our primary purpose is to fulfill the commission of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And just imagine now, the first time He appears to His disciples, the first time He appears here to His disciples, to His men, and to these ladies who are gathered together in His upper room, He calms them, but right away He tells them, listen, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. He's commissioning them already at the very beginning to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature. In other words, He doesn't beat around the bush. He says, here's what I'm here for, and here's what you're here for, to spread the gospel, to carry on the work that I have begun, to evangelize the world, to baptize. I so much enjoyed last Sunday night baptizing in our new building. Amen. Our first time to stir the baptistry waters up here. And I hope that we continue to see many more to stir the baptistry waters. Amen. And then thirdly, the Great Commission is threefold. To evangelize, to baptize, and then, Brother Stewart's wording, to stabilize, to disciple. I've been encouraged the last couple of years as we've turned our attention toward discipling new Christians individually on Wednesday nights during church. It seems though it's really helped in discipling those who have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And we need to be about discipling. Teachers and workers, as you teach in Sunday school, you're a part of our discipleship program. Amen. As you teach in children's church, you're part of our discipleship program. If you teach in Master's Club, you're part of our discipleship program. We simply want to fulfill the Great Commission that the Lord has given His disciples. And we, being His disciples, want to obey Him as our Lord and Savior. Verse 22, He says, and when He had said this, He breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Not only He commissioned them and enlisted them into fulfilling that commission, but He enabled them. He gave them power to do it. Jesus Christ would never tell us to do something that He would not enable us to do and give us power to do. And so as we go out and we tell others about Jesus Christ and we share the good news of salvation, we are enabled, we are empowered by the Holy Ghost that abides in us, the Holy Spirit that abides in us. When you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. He comes and indwells you and therefore enlightens you to understand the Scripture, and then He fills you, enables you to witness and to live the Christian life. I'm glad He hasn't left us powerless. He's given us power. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ breathed on them, they received the Holy Ghost. I think of Adam in the Garden of Eden when God breathed in him and he received life. We receive spiritual life. Amen? The Holy Spirit power to witness. The Holy Spirit power to understand the Bible. I'll give you, I usually share this with everyone. Look at Luke chapter 24. Excuse me. Luke chapter 24. Real quick, just a little nugget to remind you of something. For those of you who may be Bible students who enjoy the study of the Holy Spirit, you find the same event in Luke chapter 24. They're in the upper room. Look with me in verse 44. And he had said of this, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you. And these, and he goes on and talks about that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he, verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. And he goes on to explain more. But this is the very same event, the same upper room as he's teaching. And you look over at verse 36 and see where he says, peace be unto you. It's the same event. And the Bible says he opened their understanding. Listen, when he breathed on them and they received the Holy Ghost, their understanding was opened. Understanding of what? The Scriptures. The Scriptures. Those Old Testament Scriptures that spoke of Jesus Christ. Their understanding was open. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, when you receive the Holy Spirit, when you get saved, your understanding is opened. And you no longer have to rely upon somebody else to understand the Scriptures. Now, it does not necessarily mean you're going to know everything in the Scriptures, because none of us get to that point. But you have the Holy Spirit to guide you into the Scriptures. You have the Holy Spirit that will lead you into all truth. Hello? When they breathed on them, when Jesus Christ breathed on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Well, you said, I thought that was in Acts chapter 2. No, he baptized them on that day, but they received the Holy Ghost here. They were indwelt by the Holy Ghost here. And what a eye-opening experience it was. I'm glad when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I received the Holy Ghost. And He gives me power to witness. He gives me understanding to know the Scripture. And so I just don't understand when I read the Bible. Won't you ask Him to give you understanding? Before you read it, ask Him to give you understanding. Ask Him to open your eyes. Lord, open my eyes, I might understand Your Bible, Your Scripture. And I know He will. Not only does the Holy Spirit open our understanding, but He gives us unction. He gives us power to witness. He gives us power to live the Christian life as God intended for us to live. You are not powerless as a Christian. Romans chapter 6 says that you do not have to yield yourself as an instrument of unrighteousness. That you can yield yourself unto the Lord. Can I just encourage you that you have the most powerful unction that you could possibly have, and He lives inside of you. He's the Holy Spirit. And rely upon Him. I'm glad He gave us power over death, sin, and the grave, but also gave us power over our old sinful nature to live the Christian life as He intended for us to live. So, as Christ is here in the upper room, He enlists them into His army. He says, go, and He sends them out. He gives them power to do so by way of the Holy Ghost. And then we see O Doubting Thomas, verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus Christ came. Can I just tell you that he missed church? We're here at the first of the year. Thomas missed church. He missed the assembling together. He missed it. And when he missed the assembling together, he missed the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I just encourage you? Many of you come to me and said, Preacher, I'm going to try to come more faithfully to the Sunday night, Wednesday night services. We've already seen an increase in our attendance on Sunday and Wednesday nights. But I just encourage all the congregation not to miss church. Thomas missed church. I wonder why he missed. I wonder if maybe he was too busy. A lot of people are just too busy. If you're too busy to go to church, you're too busy. Amen? Help me out now. It's not time to sleep. It's not time to pray. Well, I'm just tired. Man, we're all tired. The world's run by tired people. Well, I attended Sunday morning. Well, you haven't fulfilled what your obligation, the command from the Lord if you just attend Sunday morning. Well, I can stay at home and have my own Bible study. And Brother House hit it on the nail. He talked about the hypocrites at church. Listen, there's hypocrites everywhere. And there's no doubt hypocrites in this room. And to an extent, we're all a little bit hypocritical because we're all sinners. Amen. Oh, you know, Peter's going there. I don't want to be around Peter. I'm not going. It amazes me how people won't come to church because so-and-so is going to be there. Listen, this building's big enough, you wouldn't have to even see him if you didn't want to. You just kind of walk past it. No, one of the evidences that we're saved is we have a love for the brethren. You can have a conflict with someone, but you can still love them. I have a conflict with my brother all the time, my real brother, you know. And we still love each other. We even fought a few times, fist fought. It was fun. We don't do it much anymore. but we still love each other. Well, you know, that Sunday night, Wednesday night, that, you know, it's not as much oomph in there. You know, it's just a lot of teaching and it's just boring and it's just dead. Well, yeah, Sunday night, Wednesday nights are geared a little different. Maybe not as much hollering going on, not as much, you know, pulpit pounding type stuff. But I tell you what, you come to learn doctrine. You come to learn the teachings of the Word of God that you might be built up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you might face the weak, and that you might have the unction to do so, and so forth. Come to get your tank full, in other words. Well, I think it's going to rain. I know sometimes the weather, so forth, but I love what Curtis Hudson said one time. He asked the guy about coming to church, and the guy said to him, well, I couldn't be there because I had milk in the refrigerator. And the point the guy made was any excuse will do. You know, just any excuse to miss church. I have no doubt that Thomas may have said, you know what, Jesus is dead. Why should I even attend? But can I tell you, Jesus is alive. What did Thomas miss? Well, he missed seeing Christ. Can I tell you, when you miss church, you miss it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. The Bible says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." You missed Christ. I know nobody likes to read it, but Hebrews 10:25 is still true. Brother House read it as well. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." A command in the Bible that we are not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. But we're to be at church. We're to be faithful at church. In fact, the Bible says here in Hebrews 10 that so much more as you see the day approaching. In other words, as we see Christ's day, His appearing coming. And we know that day could be any day. We live in the perilous times the Bible talks about. We live in the end times that the New Testament talks about. We live in that day. Jesus could return tonight. And the Bible makes it very clear that as we see that day approaching, as we see the day that Christ will return getting closer and closer and closer, that we should meet more and more and more and more. Not less and less and less. And I hate to bring up what other churches are doing, but a lot of churches have done away with their Sunday night, Wednesday night services. They've done away with special meetings. They don't have revivals anymore. They don't have Bible conferences anymore. Listen, the Bible is against that. The Bible teaches against that. We're supposed to be meeting more. Well, you say, well, there's not a whole lot of people on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. Well, we don't give up. We just keep meeting. We keep obeying the Word of God. I just want to encourage you. When you miss church, you miss Christ being in the midst. Thomas missed the joy and peace of seeing Jesus Christ, that He was indeed alive. And he had to wonder for another week. By the way, He did show up the next Sunday. The next Sunday night, He was there. Just want to encourage you, as your pastor and friend, and be faithful to church. That one service that you miss may be the service where God gets a hold of your heart. It only takes one. It may be the one service that you missed that may have changed your life forever. Amen. Oh, Thomas missed. And look at the result. Thomas blundered. It looks there at verse 25. The other disciples said to him, and he said, "Nope, not going to believe it. Except I feel his hands, except I put my hand in his side, thrust in his sides, I will not believe. I will not believe." The other disciples said, "Hey, we've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord Jesus Christ." And Thomas says, "Don't believe it." Mary says, "I've seen the Lord. I saw two angels." The men and others who saw him on the road to Emmaus, "We've seen the Lord. Don't believe it. Until I can touch his hands and the nail prints in his hands and the piercing of his side, I won't believe it." Thomas wanted proof. You say, "Well, I don't know that Jesus Christ has really risen from the dead. Do you have any proof?" I have proof in my own life. I can look back at my own life. You say, "Why do I believe Jesus Christ is alive?" Because I believe the Word of God. But number two, I've experienced the Lord Jesus Christ in my own life. I've experienced some of the scars as well. Some of the difficulties, some of the stress, some of the other things in life. And felt God's presence in a mighty, mighty way. Felt the Lord Jesus Christ's presence in a mighty way. Thomas wanted proof. "I will not believe. I want tangible proof." Verse 26. "And after another day," so next Sunday, "he was in the midst of them again. He said, 'Peace be unto you.' And he said to Thomas, 'Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing.'" Be not faithless, but believing. "And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" It's Sunday again. They're gathered together. Thomas is with them this time. And he missed out the first Sunday, so he came back the second Sunday. Then Jesus came. By the way, Jesus never fails to show up. Where two are gathered together, three are gathered together, I'll be in the midst. He never fails to show up. He's here this morning. Preacher, you really believe that? No, I believe it. I know it. He was in the midst of them. Again, he says to Thomas, "Stop being faithless and become a believer." Stop being faithless. But believe. Can I just tell you this morning, stop being faithless. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't know if you're here this morning, and maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I pray this morning that you'll stop being faithless and believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas' great confession is found in verse 28. He says, he answered and said, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Lord means boss. God means Jehovah. Jehovah means self-existent, the self-existent one. In other words, he recognized deity. He recognized the Lord Jesus Christ as deity. He said, "My Lord," and that put Jesus on the throne of his heart. And he said, "My God," and that put Jesus on the throne of the universe. My Lord and my God. Jesus Christ was God. Otherwise, he would have said here, "Hey, don't call me God. I'm not God." He didn't. He was indeed the God-man, the self-existent one, Jehovah, the I Am, the God Almighty, the Sovereign One. And Thomas recognized him as such. He was God in the flesh. Jesus answers back to him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." I think this is the main point this morning. This is the main point. You notice that Thomas did not touch him. He saw him, but he didn't touch him. He saw and believed. The disciples saw him and believed. John saw him and believed. Mary saw him and believed. They saw Jesus. But can I tell you today that Jesus Christ does not appear in bodily form anymore? He's made that clear. When he ascended into heaven, they said that he will descend in like manner someday. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen? But he does not appear. There is no, you know, if you see a 100-foot Jesus, that's not the Jesus. That's from eating too much jalapenos or hot sauce or whatever. You say, "Well, I had this dream." No, the Bible makes it clear. He doesn't appear in dreams anymore. Those things have been done away with. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, 13 say so. There is not tongue speaking anymore. And these wonders and signs have been done away with. No, it's not tangible anymore. You can't reach out and touch him anymore. You can't see him anymore. Blessed are those who have not seen me and believe. You see, in this congregation this morning, there are many here who have believed, who haven't seen him. Amen. And Jesus says, "Blessed are ye. Blessed are you. Blessed are you that have not seen me and believe." I'm glad at the age of 6 years old, I didn't see Jesus Christ in bodily form. But I heard that soft voice of the Holy Spirit. I heard. My heart was convicted of my sins. I realized I was a sinner. I realized I was on my way to hell. I realized I was under the wrath of God. And in my spiritual mind, in my spiritual eye, I did see Jesus Christ. I looked back and saw Jesus Christ on the cross. Understanding what he did for me and shedding his blood on Calvary that I might have everlasting life. And though I could not see him, I believed. I trusted in him, his life, his death, and resurrection, and I was saved at the age of 6 years old. And I'm still saved. I've never doubted it. You say, "Well, I've doubted it." Well, some do, some don't, but I know without a shadow of a doubt, if I was to die today, I'd have a home in heaven. I have not seen him bodily, but I believe that he lived. I believe he's alive today, and that he lives forevermore. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Have you believed today? Do you know him today? All the Old Testament saints were saved by simply looking forward to the cross. Jesus Christ had not yet died. The Deliverer had not yet come. And yet he was spoken about. He was spoken about to Adam. He was spoken about to Eve. He was spoken about to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And all of these Old Testament saints looked through time believing that Jesus Christ would come and die for their sins. They believed that one day a deliverer would come who would remedy their fallen condition, that would remedy their sinful condition. And believing that Jesus would come, they were gloriously saved. In the New Testament, we look back to the cross. We believe that He did come, and that He did die, and that He was shed His blood on Calvary, that He was buried, and that on the third day He rose again from the dead. And believing in Him, trusting in His life, His death, and His resurrection, we are saved. The Old Testament saints believed in the future coming of the Deliverer. We believe that Jesus Christ has already come, and therefore we trust in Him and His life, His death, and His resurrection for salvation. Believing and trusting in Him. By the word believe is found 100 times in the book of John. 100 times. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you believed? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 5:24 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth my words." John 3:36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." Have you believed? Have you believed? Have you made that decision today? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Christian, this morning, maybe this morning you need the peace of God. But can I tell you that peace of God is found where Christ is at? And He'll show up just the time that you need Him. He'll show up every time. He never fails. He never fails. And if you're here this morning and you're fearful and distressed or whatever the case is in your life, just pray. And the Lord will show up in your life in a special way. Two, Christian, we are commissioned to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We are commissioned. We are commissioned by our Lord and Savior to tell others of the Lord Jesus Christ. When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? And then just a reminder that we ought to be in church. We ought to be faithful. We ought to be here when Jesus Christ shows up. And then, of course, if you're here and you've never been saved, I pray today you might accept Christ as Savior. Let's all stand.